Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. Second part of the message from last Sunday, the name I love to hear. I hope that this past week, I hope you got something out of last Sunday's message and you were able to really take it to heart and put it into practice by speaking the name of Jesus over things in your life. I tell you what, there's times that I know that desperately we need to speak His holy name. Because at the name of Jesus, there is peace, there is life, there is hope, there is love, there is liberty, there is healing. There is so much under His holy and wonderful name. And I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture again. So if you would please stand with me, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After His mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we get into the second part of this message, Lord, and we talk about the name of Jesus, Father, we do pray in Jesus' name that right now, Lord, we will examine our hearts. And that, Father, we will turn away from the things in our life, dear God, that are keeping us from a closer walk with Jesus. We ask, God, today, that you will give us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of your word, because your word says that if we ask for these things, you will give it to us freely and you will give it to us in abundance. And Father, we pray that through this message today, as I speak it, that every word will come from your Holy Spirit, and that God, nothing will be from my own words or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I was telling you last week, it's like an everyday thing. Even when I wake up at my house now, I still expect to hear my mother singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Oh, I'm not going to try to go there because my voice is not in it. But anyway, I would hear my mother singing that every morning, and I'd come downstairs, you know, I'd be about a half-dead trance, coming down, getting ready for school, and I didn't have all my bearings together. But Mom was walking around the house singing that song over and over as she got everybody that was joyfully getting out of bed and getting their day started. Mom would just be lifting up the name of the Lord. And I want to point something out that I forgot to recognize last Sunday. When Mom was praising the Lord in our house, there was a different environment in our home. How many of you jump out of bed of a morning and you feel like a young spring chicken and you're just happy and joyful and glee? Is everybody like that? I see people smiling and laughing. You must be like me, and it ain't there. So some folks is like, "Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee." Now I see David. Beth, are they pointing at you? You're going to have to. Oh, I see some trouble coming down the line here today. Well, we'll get to a sermon on that, doll. But I can tell you this, when I get out of a bed, I don't just jump down the hallway and skip and sing. Now, I have to get my bearings together for a few moments, but after getting into the Word, it just does something about my day. And when I think about what Jesus has done for me and the burdens and the loads, that's where I'm going to go with this sermon today. All the burdens and the loads that He carried, I can identify with that. And it makes a whole different environment for my day. It picks me up and it helps. Now, yesterday was kind of a hard emotional day for me because I found out some news. And I'm not going to say this to make you feel sorry. I don't want none of that. But my cousin that passed away, her husband decided he didn't want no family to be there. None of her family could come. They're not welcome. So that's okay. And I was a little bummed over that yesterday, and it hurt. But you know, through the most of that yesterday, I really tried to really fight my way through what I was physically feeling yesterday. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to go through times that are rough. You're going to go through trials. And I've had people ask me, Brother Jim, why do good people go through bad things? And here's why. I want you to listen carefully. We go through trials and we go through tribulations in life, not because God's trying to punish us, but what God is wanting us to do is turn to Him in those moments that we're going to face. And why is that? Because we are taking a step toward God. We are taking a step of faith toward the Lord, and we are trusting Him to carry us through the burden, through the sickness, through the pain, through the heartache, whatever it might be. We are trusting Him. And when we're going through the difficult times, it also helps you and I to grow. I don't know about anybody else, but if I'm going through troubling times, what helps me is either to pray or to get in the Word, or basically, even better, do both. Get into the Word and pray and get close to God, because I want to tell you this, God is close to the brokenhearted. And why is God close to the brokenhearted? Because He understands what you're going through. He knew what you were going to go through before you even got there. Now, I knew a preacher. Well, Janine and I know a preacher, and he's not fully retired, but man, this guy is full of joy, and he's funny, and his name's Brother Ralph Brandon. Now, Mac, Cheyenne, I think they know who I'm talking about. Well, I was going through a pretty rough time some years back, and Brother Ralph, I was in his office one day and we was talking. Now Brother Ralph, he'd sit there, you wouldn't think he was listening to you, but he'd be sitting there picking his fingernails, or he'd be not looking at you, and it sometimes kind of drive me crazy. I thought, well, why doesn't he just look? But he was listening and pay attention, and he said something to me in a statement back after I got done with my little rant. You know how we are. We have to rant, we think. But Brother Ralph said this to me. He said, if you know you're going to go into a valley, he said, why would you go into it with your lip hanging down? Why would you go into it with a sad and a broken heart? Now, doesn't that sound like Ralph Brandt? Yeah. But Brother Ralph said this to me. He said, if you're going into the valley, he said, why don't you run into it praising the Lord? He said, you're not going to feel like it. It's not going to be at the forefront of your mind to want to carry on that attitude. But he said, you might as well be joyful anyway. You might as well praise God. But he said, run into that valley, because he said the Lord is there. And he said, when you're in that valley, wrap your arms around Him. And he said, embrace Him for all that He's worth, because He's worth everything to you. And he says, when you put your arms around the Lord and you pour everything into Him, He said, the Lord, if he has to, will carry you and hold you until you're strong enough to get on your feet. That's how good of a God that we serve. And that's why I want to get in today about the Lord Jesus understands our impoverishment. Now, the name Jesus, it's our Lord's human name that was given to him. I want you to understand this. There's two concepts here. We're talking about God who's come in the form of flesh. He's man. He's got Jesus, the human name, but we also know that he's got other names that's mentioned in the Bible. He is Yahweh. He is I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he has become flesh and he's dwelling with us on the earth during this time. And why is that? Because Jesus wanted to show you and I, and we see it in his word, that he is going to carry burdens. He is going to carry heartaches and struggles. He's going to go through so much because he wanted to be an example of how we should live our lives. The name Jesus is the name that identifies him with the very people that he came to save. That's where your identity's at. Your identity, Sarah Leip, her identity is not in her name, Sarah. Sarah, your identity is in Jesus because you're his child, Laura. And if your identity is in Jesus, people know you by your earthly name, but you are a child of God. And he knows you by your name. He knows everything about every one of our lives. And the Lord is so great. The Bible says that he knows the number of hairs that's on our head. Now look at Billy's kind of giving me that, yeah. He knows how many you got, Billy, yeah. But he knows everything about you. He knows every fraction of your life, and all the Lord wants you to do, the Lord wants us to come to him, and the Lord wants us to bow in reverence to him. He wants us to submit. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He was God. He is all God. But here on the earth, he was man. And that's probably what a lot of people just thought he was. They just thought, you know, Jesus told people he was the Son of God, and did people believe it? No, not everybody believed it, but there were those who knew who Jesus was. The Lord of glory came into this world. Not only did he come as a king, but he came as a humble servant. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a manger. And he wasn't born in riches and wealth. He was born in what? Poverty. Poverty. I want to point something out to you real quick too. I think I may have said this before, but I'll say it again. I can't stand these preachers that get on TV and preach a prosperity gospel. And here's what I mean. They're taking Jesus and they're basically putting Jesus out there. Well, if you believe in the Lord and if you sow a seed, you'll become rich. They're using Jesus as a tool to become rich. But Jesus was born in poverty. Jesus was telling people, if you want to come and follow me, then you go and sell everything that you have. Leave your family. Go and bury your dead. That's what he told one man. And one man said, well, I got to go bury my father. Jesus said, the dead will bury the dead, but give up everything and come and follow me. So you got preachers out here on TV telling folks that there's a way to get rich and that's through Jesus and all you have to do is believe it. If you can believe it, it'll happen. Well, that's wrong. Jesus came in poverty because you and I in this life are going to go through some things. We're going to go through poverty, and that's described in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. We're going to experience weariness, John chapter 4, verse 6. Hunger, Matthew 4, 2. We will be rejected, John 1, 11 and John 19, 10. We will experience loneliness, and we will experience temptation and trials. I want to tell you right now, this moment, Jesus experienced every one of these things that I just named off. He experienced them. But did Jesus ever go and throw himself on the ground and have a kicking, screaming fit over the things that he was going through? No, he didn't. What was Jesus's, what was his response to these things? Jesus always turned to the Father. Jesus would always go and spend a lot of time in prayer. Jesus would communicate with the Father. And that's why I'm telling you, that's what God is expecting of you and I as Christian people. We need to identify that Jesus was in the midst of hunger. He had people turn away from him. People did not like him because he was light. And you know what happens when light comes into darkness? When the light comes, so you're light, you ever get around somebody and they don't want to talk to you? And you know that you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, but people seem to turn away or they go talk to others. That's because your light is bothering their darkness. What's inside of you is evident to the devil in most other people's lives. So that's why in this life, when we go through poverty, when we go through hunger, when we have needs, we have to bring ourselves into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we have to lay it all before Him, and we have to trust Him. We have to have faith. Now, if Jesus went through it and He survived, listen to that, Jesus went through it and He survived. He made it. So guess what? You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. Jesus understands your burdens and your pains, but He doesn't want you to carry them alone. And that's why the Lord is showing us we have to turn to Him in those times. Now, this past week, as we were sitting in my uncle's funeral service, I was just really overcome with a lot of grief. This last few weeks just been, it is hard. But you know, the preacher got up there, Brother Rick did, and he said a lot of praiseworthy things. He didn't speak sadness and doom and gloom. He was basically preaching a sermon. It was a celebration of life. And I know that's how my Uncle Aubrey would have wanted his life to be looked at, was a celebration, because he loved the Lord. And he went through some deep despairing times, I know. Even when he was faced with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's, I remember my Aunt Glenda said, boy, he pounded his fist on the arm of the chair and said, it ain't supposed to be like this. How many of you have been there? How many of you have had a situation and you said, God, this is unfair. It ain't supposed to be this way. God never promised us a rose garden. God didn't promise us an easy life. But here's what God promised us. God promised us His love. God promised us His comfort. He promised to carry us through. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That means he's never going to turn His back on you. So I don't care if somebody ever told you that you weren't worthy enough or that you were so bad. It doesn't matter what somebody told you at some point through your life. Know this, that the Lord is looking at your heart And the Lord is seeing the love. He's seeing the possibility in you. He is seeing something totally different. And that's what the Lord is wanting you to see. The Lord is wanting you to see what He can do in your life. So if you're going to go into a valley, as Brother Ralph Brandon told me, you might as well run into it, and you might as well run into it like a crazy person praising the Lord. And when you see Him, you know where He's at. Throw your arms around Him and rest in Him. How do you recover from something hard and difficult? Your rest. Now, yesterday I got up, I fixed some breakfast, I did the dishes, I went outside, and I washed the car. I haven't physically washed the car by hand in forever. I got out of bed this morning, and my legs and my hind knee and my hips hurt, and my back hurt, and I thought, what have I done to myself? Now, I want to tell you what I did was well worth it. It was. I wanted to do an act of service for my wife. And I was hurting today, but you know what? This hurt, it only lasts a temporary time. It's going to go away, but it's also going to enable me that the next time I go and do something that requires a little vigorous activity, I won't be so sore and hurting the next time. See, I gain strength every time I work. Every time I have to press forward, I gain more strength. And I learn how to go even farther. And that's what the Lord's wanting us to do. Jesus went farther for you and I. He went to the cross. He went to the cross and He died and He shed His blood for your sins. That you would have life and that you would have it. How? Abundantly. That's right. He didn't say it was temporary. He didn't say it was for so many years. He says it's abundantly. It's for all of eternity that He died for you. And if He did that, that should give you hope. When you come to church, you ought to walk in the doors and you ought to be happy. Really? There's a lady I know that she went through a loss. She lost her husband. And then this has been many years ago, but she lost one of her children just a few weeks later, maybe a month later, lost one of her kids, and then she lost a sibling, and she still came into church with a smile on her face. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, how is she going through these deep waters and not drowning? How is she surviving? And then I remembered her saying that the Lord's always been good to her, and she knew that the Lord was there to carry her through all of the trials that she's ever going to face in her life. You know what? The day is coming that you and I will never face another trial. The day is coming when we get to heaven and we won't have to worry anymore about suffering. No more death. No more rejections. No more unhappiness. So when you come into church, I mean, we ought to get ourselves in bed on Saturday night, and we ought to get a good night's sleep, and we ought to get up. And when we're going into God's house, we're not just coming in here, you know, we're not coming in here for each other. We're coming in here for the one that died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. And if He has given us the victory, then we ought to be showing it. We ought to be happy within our hearts. You know, we could be in a communist country right now, you and I, and we could be restricted on what we're allowed to do. And because you know what? In these communist countries, they can't serve the Lord. They can't have church. But these people have to secretly go and hide away in order to gather together and share God's Word. And they're willing to risk their lives for it. And you and I don't have to worry about that. So we should come into the Lord's house with thanksgiving in our hearts. We should enter His courts with praise. Because that, as the other good song says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There should always be a song within our heart. Now I'm telling you, you're going to go through the difficult stuff, and physically, mentally, you're not going to feel like being happy. And that's all right. But you've got to do this. You've got to push through. You've got to keep fighting. You cannot give up. Because Jesus is right there with you. He's alive inside of you, and He's telling you, you can keep going, child. I'm here with you. I'm giving you the power that you need for today. And that's what we have to get our focus on. We're living here and now. We're not living tomorrow just yet. So whatever you're thinking about this week, get it out of your mind. Get it out of your heart. And put your focus on today right now. This is what you're living. Pray about today. Live for today. Witness to people, even if you don't feel like it. When Jesus was going through these hard times, Jesus still cared about the will of His Father. He still taught. Even though people despised Him and rejected Him, He would go somewhere else and He would take the word of His Father and He would start teaching it and preaching it to those who would hear. And He touched so many lives. And I'm telling you this, there will be people who will push us away. And we were actually having a discussion about this last night regarding family. Don't go chasing after family that don't want nothing to do with you. Now pray for them. Pray for them. Love them. But don't go chasing them if they ain't going to want nothing to do with you. You pray for them and give them to God, and you let God bring them back to you. But here, you let God have your battles. You let God fight them, and you rest in Him. But you have to remember to be faithful. You have to remember to abide in Him and walk with Him, and He will meet every single need of your life. Then lastly, I'm going to cover this real quick. His name declares His individuality. There were many children in that time. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong line. There was only one name at that time, Jesus. And that name Jesus was called, He was called Emmanuel. There are thousands of babies born into the world, but only one was going to become the Savior of the world. So many babies are born, but only one baby came that was so special. Now, we got to see some babies last night in our family. And boy, it's wonderful to hold them. It's wonderful to see their little smiles and hear their giggles and get them coos and the hugs. And we talk baby to them, don't we? And get that kind of response. That's great. But you know what? There's only one baby. Only one baby that really meant something to this world. And His name's Jesus. He was the one individual that had been foretold of. And people, when He was born, people came from all over to come and worship the baby Jesus because they knew what His sole purpose was. And that would be to die on the cross, to be the Savior of the world, the one who would bridge the gap between us and God. And today, Jesus still is Emmanuel. He is the Son of God. And that will be for all of eternity. This Jesus who came and lived upon this earth, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. He is Lord. Now, I hope that really means something to all of us. And I just want to share this from my heart right now before I close. You know, when we come to church, this just ain't a religious practice that we're doing. This is not just some normal gathering that we're supposed to be used to every week. That's not what this is about. When we come into this house, this is the Lord's house. Now, we're the church, all of us, Christian people. We're the church. And we come to a place to gather every week to glorify Him. And I want you to know this. When you come in that door, there's going to be things on your heart. But leave it out there. And when you come into His presence, you come into His presence with joy at what He's done for you. Be thankful that you get this opportunity. Smile at people. Don't look like you're coming in here to be beaten with a 2x4, because that's not what we're here for. I've seen people walk out of church and be shaking their hands, and their mouths are hanging down here. They remind me of those basset hounds. Some of the people come out of church, and they remind me of basset hounds. Their jaws, I'd say their jowls are still hanging down, and they look like they never received nothing. And that's because when they've gotten into God's house, they went in with a closed heart, and they went in with a closed mind, and they were already made up in their minds that they didn't want to receive from Him. And if that's how you go into God's house, that's how you walk out. There's a lot of people going, well, I wonder how long he'll preach today, because I'd sure like to get to lunch. I ain't got nothing in my belly. Or maybe I don't like the sound of today's sermon. Well, I'm telling you what, we ought to be thankful that we get to hear the Word of the Lord and that we get to hear the truth of it. When we come into His house, come in with an open heart. Come in here ready to serve. Come in here joyfully. And when you walk out of here, let people know that you've been in God's presence. Don't look like you've been in the presence of Archie Bunker. I never could stand that show. I hated that show. Yeah. That's another whole sermon right there. But when you leave this house, let the joy of the Lord radiate from you. Tell people when you invite them to church. Don't say, well, come to my church because we have a wonderful pastor. I don't like people telling others I'm wonderful. I'm not. He's wonderful, not me. I got flaws, folks. He's wonderful. But when you're out telling people, tell people, come to our church because we got folks that love the Lord and we got folks that like to serve and we have a close-knit family. We really do. How many of you believe that we have a close-knit family here? Yeah. Now, a lot of you are family by blood. Oh, you know what? I just thought of this. All of us are family by blood, by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So, He understands your needs. He's walked. You might have heard somebody say, walk a mile in my shoes. Sometimes we think that our shoes are filled with some of the most low down and troubling times. If you ever have, how many of you ever been in Jesus' shoes? None of us. So none of us know. You want to talk about going through something difficult? Let me just say this and I'll close. Imagine what God went through. Having to send His perfect Son and then watch Him be nailed to a cross and take the sins of the world. The perfect lamb, a sacrificial lamb, took the sins. Imagine what God went through watching His perfect Son become sin for you and I. Now, if that doesn't make you want to get to church, there's something wrong. I'm telling you. If that doesn't move your heart, then I'm thinking we need to be getting in front of the Lord and saying, Father, maybe I need to get saved. Because if that doesn't move you, there is a problem. Really. What God went through watching His Son die on the cross, that had been the hardest thing for Him. Because Jesus cried out, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me?